David. So now we're in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, most scholars will tell you it would only take 11 days to travel through the wilderness. And I wonder, why did it take the children of Israel 40 years? And I said, oh, it was a wilderness. They didn't know where to go. But if you go back and read the beginning of, I believe it's in Exodus, where Moses killed a man, he went to go hide in the wilderness. So Moses was familiar with the wilderness. So it wasn't that they didn't know where to go and they didn't know their way out. God had to process them.
Yes.
And it took 40 years to undo 400 years of slavery. Now I want you all to understand, when you become a slave to something, there is not just the physical manifestation of slavery. Slavery first begins in your mind. So there was a certain level of mental conditioning that happened where Pharaoh was able to imprint. If you're a therapist, we call that a trauma imprint, okay, where it means that it begins to leave a footprint in your heart and in your mind of how Pharaoh was indoctrinating them in order to be obedient to him and not to God. Are you all following me? So in these 40 years, God had to undo the imprint, because imprints leave what's called trauma echoes. That means that every time something begins to look like what you went through, it echoes.
But if you fail
to drive out the people who live in the land, those pain will be like splinters in your eyes and thorns in your sides. They will harass you in the land where you live, and I will do to you what I plan to do to them. What I found interesting before I get to my other text is that I just told y'all we were going to go get our vision corrected, correct? God took us to a place to give us some prophetic insight and to allow us to see things from a different perspective. But if we don't make certain decisions to choose to cut some things off, when he shows us who we really are, when he shows us where he's taking us, when he shows us his purpose and our plans for our lives, those things will distort your vision of how you see everything. And it will cripple you and stop you from doing anything.
Yeah.
So now let's go to 1 Samuel 17. Let me catch you up while I'm looking. Moses and the people in his generation, when they got to the end of the wilderness, they were allowed to see the promised land. But because of their disobedience, God did not allow them to cross over into it. Can you imagine? You've been hyped up. You went through 400 years of slavery. You went through 400 years of, the men raping women. They doing what they want to do. You got to take your bare feet, stomping bricks, making bricks, building things, doing all these things for somebody else. And God is promising you, I'm going to deliver you. I got something better for you. I'm taking you into a promised land, a land that's full of milk and honey. Yo, rapes and socks. Two people got to carry these jams. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's everything you've been waiting on. And because of your disobedience, he lets you peep over.
Wow.
And see.
That's good.
But you can't have it. So Moses and his entire generation had to die, and God raises up Joshua. Joshua then has to stand at the edge of the wilderness until the men who are able to fight are now fully grown. So now we're crossing over into a new land, we're crossing over into the promised land, but we still have 400 years of dramatic history that has been taught to us. We still have these 40 years of struggling in the wilderness, and now we've got a whole bunch of grief and loss. Because I had to wait for my mom and my daddy, my grandmother, my grandfather, my godmother, my uncle, my aunt, my father, my cousin, my this brother. I had to wait for them to die before God would even let me into the land. And I'm grown, so I know what I'm watching around me. I know what I said. But I'm coming over to my new space. But I'm still broken. I'm still hurting. I'm still grieving. I'm still traumatized. So as they enter into this space, God is still healing. They had seven different enemies that tried to fight them in this space. Now, I believe Pastor Jeff said the Israelite church is a territory-building church. Is that correct? So the territory that the children of Israel had to build was a territory called Canaan, which was the land of Milk and Honey, which was the promised land. But there were people who already lived in the land. So it wasn't like they were just walking into a brand new house with keys that have never been occupied. They're going into a territory that somebody already feels like, this is my place. They got their houses built, they got their huts established, they got their families, they got their cell phone lines connected, you know, their internet mode, you know how hard it is when you move, and you gotta disconnect all your services, wait for them to reconnect some new services, all of that other stuff. But here it is, God has told these promised people, these chosen people, go take that land, that's for you. Well, I don't think that the people who are already there like that too much. So the Bible says, if you read the first couple of chapters of Samuel, he had already driven out the Hivites, the Hittites, the all the other ites, and this ites, blah, 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 Amalekites, blah, blah, blah. All those things God did that, right? But when we get to chapter 17, God has changed the story. God has raised up Samuel the prophet. So the way things were going now is God would talk to Samuel, Samuel would communicate the information to the people, and they would move forward like that. Well, since Israel has been exposed to all of these other different types of lands and tribes, they wanted to look like them. They wanted to exchange their identity to look like somebody else. Their culture is that they were raised by a physical king. They had kings that they had to answer to. Israel's king was God, but they were not satisfied with an invisible king. They wanted to have a human king that they could see. And so Samuel says to them, listen, God said you can, but I would suggest you just stick with God. Like, we've been riding with God this whole time. God makes you smacking people around like we just walking through. He's making the crazy things happen. You got manna coming out the ground. You got quail floating from the sky. You got woods like this parking. I think we got a good thing. The people's like, we ain't with it no more. Forget the miracles, we want the man. Be careful when you are afraid what you ask for. The things you ask for, fear, have the ability to dominate you and kill army for battle and came between Sukkoth and Judah and Azekah and Lachish Damon. Saul countered by gathering the Israelite troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistines and the Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. Every time I heard the story of David and Goliath, I never realized that the Philistines was on top of one mountain and that the children of Israel was on top of another mountain. I always envisioned that they were just kind of on this level playing field, just kind of looking at each other, kind of talking trash. But that's not what happened. See, they were on top of one mountain in Sukkoth, and the children of Israel was on top of this other mountain. And so they're looking at each other from a distance. And so what's happening is that Goliath is now starting to run his mouth. You ever been scared of somebody and they start running their mouth to you? So now, like, you're not just scared because he's big name, but now you're kind of like, ooh, I don't have to come back for that. They said your mama, and I really can't get it. You ever had one of those type of situations where now you're intimidated in your heart, you got a little bit of fear, a little bit of trembling? So this is what's happening. And so if you get down to verse 8, it says, Goliath stood and shouted a talk across the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called, I am the Philistine champion. But you deserve this slap.
Come on.
How you gonna let your enemy tell you who you are?
That's right.
That they were servants of Saul. So this Bible goes on to say, choose one man to come out and fight with me. If he kills me, then I will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. Now, the children of Israel had 400 years of slavery. Now, you threatened me with something I know.
Come on.
You threatened me with something that was terrorizing me. Sounds like an echo of the bone. Because now you're gonna hit my trigger. Now you're gonna hit my trigger spot. I can't risk it. I know what God has done, I know what he did, but I can't risk it. I mean,
that is so good. So
I can't. So meanwhile, while this is going on, the children of Israel, they're on their mountaintop. They're not even talking trash back. They just talking amongst themselves, like, man, what are we going to do? I don't know. You want up there? I ain't going out there. So finally, Saul the king says, listen, y'all, we need somebody to go. And the Bible says, if you skip down to verse 16, it says, for 40 days, every morning, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the army. He just walked up on like, I need you to go check with your brothers. David's like, what's up? Like, what's up? He's like, yo, there's a giant in the land, and he threatened to enslave us. But here's some grain, here's some bread, just be chill. Don't say nothing too much. Give this cheese to the captain. Give this bread to your brothers. And then come back and let me know what's going on. I just want to make sure my sons are safe. I hope they're not out there trying to be, you know, no champion. Like somebody else go ahead and do it. Tell them daddy says, shh, and I need my people to come home.
Right.
So David says, so he goes out there, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't want to read too much, so I'm just following. So David goes out there, he gives the bread to his brother, he gives the cheese to the captain. And then David happened to hear Saul, Goliath, running his mouth. First time, David said, all right, I'm going to mind my business. I'm going to give this report to my dad because I'm going to be him. Dad, this is what's going on. But then David's like, we got to do something else. I got to go back out there and check on my brothers. He makes the same thing as say, all right, go ahead. So David goes back out there again. And I can only imagine the conversation he's having with the Lord while he's going back and forth. Like, yo, you give me the word, go.
Run, run.
Let's skip down. Come with me now. He skips down to about verse 23.
And it says that as Goliath was running his mouth, it said that the Israelite army saw them, and the Israelites ran away. So whenever trauma comes, there's four options. You're either going to fight, you're going to flight, you're going to freeze, or you're going to fawn, which means you're going to figure out how to appease your enemy so that they can leave you alone. So that's one out of four options. So in this option, the children of Israel, they decide to run back because they're afraid. So then the men start talking about themselves. So now they start saying, have you seen the giant? He comes out every day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man his daughter for a wife, and he won't even have to pay taxes. So David asked the soldiers nearby, forget all that stuff about what Goliath said. He said, what's the reward again? So he said, what will a man get? In verse 26, for killing the Philistine and ending his defiance on Israel. And who is this clown? I'm sorry, Bob says, who's this pagan Philistine anyway? That he's allowed to even defy the armies of the living God? Because not one time, and now this whole passage, the children of Israel even mention God. Not one time they even inquire of God. Not one time they recall the word. Alright, so I'm gonna get that egg right there. And I'm gonna get to keep my points.
Wow.
Okay. So now his brother says, David, you always trying to be somebody special. Right? Go ahead, walk back out there. She's like, what you doing? What you doing? See, the baby, the family, somebody's saying, I gotta get one day. Dad, be like, why you bro go up there like that? You're supposed to be watching. You know what I'm saying? Like, go. But David is like, he ignores his brother. And skip one down with me. And you get down to verse 32. 32, David makes a decision. And he makes this decision and he says, don't worry about this Philistine. He's talking to the king now. He's talking to Saul. He said, I'll go fight him. So Saul is telling him, don't be ridiculous. You're just a little boy. And David's like, let me tell you how little I am. He said, I take care of my God's sheep out here in the field by myself. He said, when the bulls come, when the bears come, when the lions come, he said, I fight them by myself. He said, when I'm getting them out, I go and I'm proud. If you got it like that, all right, cool. So then Saul begins to put his armor on David. Now, before I go further into the story, I want to tell you all something. I told you all that the children of Israel were never designed to fight. So the Bible says, I think it's a couple chapters before that, that nobody in their tribe, their nation, even knew how to make a weapon. So in order to get a weapon to fight for war, you had to go to the Philistines. And say, spear, shield. Of course, they won't say what you need for. We'll be coming to attack you, Mom, in a couple of days. So anything God will bring. So I want you all to imagine you have usurped your position of authority. They're in your territory, having your resources, and you have to go to your enemy and ask your enemy to equip you with a weapon to fight them. And then the Bible says that the children of Israel then had to pay them for the weapon that they provided to them. So I'm not a military person, but I'm married. And I had a conversation with my husband, and I said, what kind of strategy can you come up with if the enemy knows that you're preparing to attack? When we fail to consult the Lord, and when we consult the flesh, and when we make decisions according to our flesh, we have already defeated ourselves. And David takes a couple steps, and he's like, nah, you have it. Take your helmet, take this, take that, whatever. Then the Bible says, he picked up his vials from the stones. Now this is where I have an issue with the story. If you go back up to verse 1, the Bible says that the Philistines were on the mountain of Succoth. Succoth belonged to the tribe of Judah. How dare you let your enemy set up camp on a mountain of your brothers? The Bible did not say that they walked past Judah. It didn't say that they saw it from a distance. It said that they got comfortable. They set up camp and they began to terrorize you from your position of authority.
been challenging you, but when we come into the house of God, we get to come in here. Greater is He that is in me. I know it comes to play in our heart, but every time you don't show up, you forfeit that attitude. So now that y'all understand what I'm saying, it took me a while to get to there, but I had to let you understand how to get here. Now that I understand that Stubal was laying down and given to Judah. And it said he was armed with the shepherd's staff and sling, and he started across the valley. Can you imagine? You've been camped up on this valley. You're trying to get your game plan in your mind. Your enemy has been on the other mountain. He's been running his mouth, tempting you. There's a valley in between. What did he say to me? Nothing between is the air, nothing between. And so you made the decision to cross over the area of opportunity. But you got to go through the valley. And so sometimes, when your praise is broken, all you got is your worship. And maybe it was worship. So I can only imagine that as he was coming down off that mountain and going into the valley, he remembered what he said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Today, this nation tries to terrorize one of the
hostage to your enemy.
Wow.
So you have your choice today. Amen.
Thank you.